How do we relate to Scripture, and what authority does it have in our lives? This is Carl Kosar from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas, who are both professors here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Today we really begin looking explicitly at Paul's letter to the Galatians that we talked about in general last week. And this is really a rather surprising letter. I said it was considered Paul's most fiery letter, and it's one that we can see he really gets worked up at. And my students actually find it quite surprising with some of the strong statements that the apostle makes in this letter. And particularly, I'd like to share with them Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. And this, of course, Paul is countering, fighting against a group in the church who are trying to force people to be circumcised. And in the midst of Paul's letter,
Should I read this on air, Carl?
I think perhaps I've already gone too far. Okay. I've committed, so this is definitely one you probably did not memorize as a Bible verse, but Paul says to them, "I wish that those who unsettle you, those troublers, would emasculate themselves." I think we'd all agree that regardless of the version you're reading in, that this is definitely a strong statement on the part of the apostle. So what are we to make of this? Let me give you a little bit of background to help out. Although Paul does not say exactly when he wrote this letter to the Galatians, many scholars believe it's probably the earliest of all his New Testament letters. And if that's true, Paul's letter would have likely been written to the churches that Barnabas and he founded in Galatia during their first missionary journey there described in Acts 13 and 14. Shortly after Paul found the church in Galatia there, an issue came up that troubled the church, and that was the issue of whether Gentile believers needed to be circumcised in order to become full Christians. And before this issue was finally decided at the Council of Jerusalem in about the year AD 49, Paul responded to this issue himself with his letter to the Galatians. And so let me just read the first 9 verses of chapter 1 to give us kind of our footing. There Paul says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you're so quickly turning from him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." So begins his letter to the Galatians. Now, scholars have discovered that actually his opening letter here follows the same basic pattern we see in other ancient letters. And so that raises some questions for me that I'd like your feedback on. Does the fact that Paul kind of follows the standard form of letter writing in that day, does that somehow undermine our view of Scripture as something that's more human than it is divine? Does that take away the divine authority from Scripture? What do you think?
No, I don't think so, because Scripture is really a message from God put in human words. And so in so many ways, the form that it takes is not the point. The point is the message clear? So the fact, you know, if Paul had written in English and written, you know, in a modern format, his readers would never have understood it. So it should not surprise us or detract from Scripture to see it in a form that was familiar.
Scripture is a form of God's revelation. And the purpose, it seems to me, of revelation is that something be revealed, be communicated to the audience. And so to communicate, I guess I'm sort of saying the same thing, to communicate most powerfully to a given audience, you have to communicate in ways that they can understand, in a language that they can understand, in forms that make sense to them. And so I think throughout the Bible, we see God revealing himself and then the scripture itself being recorded and written in a way that that original audience could best access the revelation that God wanted to give.
And for me, that also tells me, too, that God really intends for his word to be understood.
Right.
Because he didn't come in some sort of mystical way,
right,
some sort of secret code. He gave it in a way that people would identify with and understand.
Right.
Perhaps we could say another example of this would be the incarnation. I mean, he became, took on humanity in order to reveal himself to humanity.
Right.
But as you read that, Carl, it is amazing how he jumps right into the middle of this. He doesn't mince away. He doesn't wait for anything, hardly a greeting. And then I'm amazed that you are so quickly, bang. You know,
it's interesting, too, because scholars who study Paul's letters, when they compare this letter with every other one he's written in the New Testament, it's unique. He skips a couple things. One, he always has some sort of prayer of blessing. Where he's thankful
I always
for them.
Remember you in my prayers. I give. Doesn't he thank, you know,
exactly,
thank God,
yeah,
for them?
Yes. Yeah. Each time I think of you, I have these good feelings.
Yeah.
But he skips that here.
Yeah.
And he cuts right to the chase. There's some trouble here. And in the process, some people think perhaps maybe he goes a little overboard. He says that he wishes that anyone who preaches a different gospel might be accursed. And just in case you didn't get it the first time.
Twice, he says.
He tells it to you twice. Do those harsh words, do they undermine Scripture? I mean, is this some sort of ill-advised outburst that the Holy Spirit just kind of lost control of Paul for a few lines? What do you think about difficult verses like this?
I don't think it's a difficult verse, actually. I mean, his emotions are running hot. I think he's feeling very zealous to protect the Galatians from the people who are leading them astray. And so he's not wasting time or effort. He's being very blunt. And, you know, sometimes you have to do that in order to get a message. I kind of compare these things to a fireman who shows up at your house when it's on fire and you don't know it and you're sitting eating breakfast and he doesn't ring the doorbell. He breaks the door down and drags you out. So, I mean,
we're grateful for that, too.
Yeah, we are. Ultimately, you're not very happy when he does it. But so I see that here Paul is hitting them up the side of the head so they'll at least listen to him and realize he has something serious on his mind.
I think perhaps in our culture today, that's something that we're not used to in our political correctness, that we don't like to ruffle a whole lot of feathers. So something like this might kind of surprise us.
And it probably surprised them as well. I think it probably did have its desired effect in terms of them sitting up and taking notice.
And they sat back and said, whoa, you better listen up. Paul's got something coming here.
What I think, too, that maybe helps explain this a little bit more clearly, too, is the fact that he's not just saying, you know, I want all of you to, you know, go to hell. That's basically the sense of his words there. But he says, if anyone preaches something different, whether it's me or you, so it's not like he's just saying, you know, it's just you guys, but he's so concerned about their eternal destiny that he comes across very strongly.
But see, I think this idea of a curse, though, you know, as I understand in ancient times, was a more deliberate thing. This was a statement of bad fortune or ill will that would devolve upon you, hopefully with the assistance of God. So, you know, it's not like when people curse today and they say bad words.
Right.
Or this is like...
It's a stronger.
Yeah, may your trajectory of life go downhill if you do this.
Yes. Paul actually makes reference to this in his letter to the Romans 2, where he talks about that he wishes that he could be accursed if it would bring about the salvation of his people. So, now, what do you think, gentlemen? This is also kind of strong in its tone, that it implies that there is only, I mean, it's clear that there's only one way of salvation, and that salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Kind of the popular view among people today is that there are many different ways to God, and they're all equally valid. What would you say to someone of that persuasion?
Well, I think that there is something of value and even truthful material to be found in almost every kind of belief. I think there are some that are...
more distorted than others?
Yeah. And some of them are so badly distorted, I wouldn't look for anything good out of them. But... Mm-hmm. What I think Paul is talking about here is the agency of salvation. That it is Christ who is God's agent of redemption. It is by Jesus that the plan of redemption was established and set into operation. And so there are people who will be saved who never knew about Jesus. You have to include, first of all the people in the Old Testament. They only had a promise to look forward to. So if you hold that you have to know the name of Jesus and have some personal faith in him as a person, you cut out a whole lot of people. But that's a little bit different than saying, however you found came to faith in God, the agent of your redemption is Jesus. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So in this case, we'd say that, that heaven is not going to be exclusive to only a certain denomination or even Christians themselves, but we should expect to see people from different backgrounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, based on what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere, finds many different ways to bring people to the point of faith in God. And I think there will be people in heaven who will discover there that Jesus was the agent of their redemption.
That's right, yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
So he's still the way, the truth,
yes,
and the life.
That's right.
And it's only through what he did
that
anyone will be in the kingdom. And they may be surprised to find out that they were there that Jesus was the agency of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, it's his grace and his grace alone.
That's right. And, you know, we should never eliminate the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes places and does things that we could never do.
Very powerful. Thank you, Dave and Paul. And I find it very striking that, as concerned and even upset as Paul was with these wayward Galatians, that his letter still begins with an invitation for them to experience God's grace and God's peace. And I don't know about you, but what a picture that gives me of God, especially as these words are likely the very first words written in the New Testament scriptures. It encourages me that even when we, like the Galatians who were walking contrary to God's will, that even when we may be in that same category, God still comes appealing to us to turn from our mistakes and to accept his grace of forgiveness and his peace that brings healing and wholeness to our lives. As we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we have a very special offer to you, our listeners. It's a brand new book I've written especially for this study. It's called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of insightful insights and stories that can really help explain Paul's letter in more detail and to show us relevance for our lives today. This week's chapter is entitled Paul's Authority and Gospel. We'll be glad to send you a copy this week. We're asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will help support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. That number again is 509-527-2194. Or go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword or send an email to goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember, our past and present programs are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that on our webpage at wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you for listening to today's program, and please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference God wants us to make in our lives. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.